From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Once again, this is Alan Cairns with you to Let the Bible Speak. It's good to have you listening in today. We do appreciate you taking the time to spend these 30 minutes with us as we open the Scriptures and seek to let the Bible speak. Today we continue, or should I say we conclude, our series of studies in Romans chapter 12, where we've been thinking of a yielded life, the only proper response of a believer to the gospel. We have been looking at how the Bible tells us we ought to yield our lives unto God. First of all, in sacrifice to Him, then in separation from the world, then in service among the saints, and as we have been seeing this week, as a savor of Christ among the unsaved of this present evil world. We're going to be coming one more time to Romans chapter 12. We're going to be looking at verses 18 to the end of the chapter, so stay with us, and may the Lord bless His word to our hearts. First, however, we have our daily devotional Bible study for today, Blessing Out of Bitterness, Exodus 15, verse 23, when they, that is the children of Israel, came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters, for they were bitter. It was just after crossing the Red Sea that the children of Israel came to Marah. Here, at the first stopping point of any significance, they began to experience the sort of difficulties that would plague them for the next 40 years. In the wake of a great and glorious moment, they had to face this most obvious setback. That pattern's similar in the Christian life. Often the soul, newly released from bondage, is subject to immediate trial. How shall we face the bitter experiences of life? That's the key question. In the incident described at the end of Exodus 15, we see two different responses. First, the response of the people. They grumbled. Then the response of Moses. Moses cried to the Lord. Often, we who are saved are more like the Israelites than we are like Moses, their leader. The cry of complaint becomes almost a reflex action. It's our first response to any test that's set before us. We forget the previous mercies of the Lord. We forget that His hand overrules all, even our calamities, for our good, and we fail to see that there's a purpose even in the bitter moments. We're all too often like the children of Israel, when we ought to be more like Moses. Moses did not question God's plan. There was not a hint of rebellion. He cried to heaven, and his prayer was wonderfully answered. Friend, here's the way to face our troubles. Here's the way to see the intervention of God. And when He steps in, the situation will be altogether different. As the children of Israel found out, He's the one who makes the bitter water sweet. And our thought for the day comes from the great English Baptist preacher Alexander McLaren. The one secret of getting sweetness out of bitterness is loving acceptance of the will of God.
Teach me Thy will. What seems best to thee,
Coming very near to Christmas, and soon after that, the end of this year and the beginning of another. We'd like to mark all of those occasions by offering to you, our listeners, our special Let the Bible Speak 2007 color calendar. Now, we want you to have it because we think you'll enjoy having it. It carries a series of beautiful pictures of Ireland, and I know that wherever I go in the world, people talk about the beauty of Ireland and how much they would love to see it. Well, we'll let you see it at least on the calendar. We think you'll enjoy it. But beyond that, we want you to use it, to be blessed by the scripture text that it sets before you, and then especially to use it to remember this ministry in prayer, because every time you look at it, you will be reminded of Let the Bible Speak and how it seeks to carry the gospel of Jesus Christ to many millions of people around the world. We invite your prayer support. If you'd like to have your copy of the 2007 color calendar from Let the Bible Speak, we invite you to write or email or call. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you want to email us, our emailing address is LTBS@freepres.org. And if you'd like to call us toll free, our telephone number is 1-866-877-LTBS. 1-866-877-5827. We'd love to hear from you, and we'd love to send you this lovely color calendar that will keep you, I trust, praying for us throughout 2007. And now we come to the final message in our series from Romans chapter 12, in how a Christian should respond to the gospel. The only proper response is a life that is yielded to God. Let me again remind you of how we have outlined the chapter. Yielded to God in sacrifice to Him. Yielded to God in separation from the world. Yielded to God in service among the saints in the body of Christ and His church. And now yielded to God as we live a life that's a savor of Christ in the world among the unsaved. We've been looking at Romans chapter 12, verse 14 through 21 this week, showing that the overriding theme here is that we, verse 21, be not overcome of or by evil, but overcome evil with good. We've been seeing how in detail we're told to do that. Now we come to verse 19, which says, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. What we're told here is that we must not allow anger and bitterness to corrupt our lives and make us vengeful people who must always vindicate ourselves and get our own back. Now, that's again something that's very easy to say, but this is one of the most common feelings of Christians, because this is one of the most natural reactions to our flesh. It is natural that we want to vindicate ourselves. That's natural. It's natural that we want to make everybody see we are right. It's natural when people do us wrong that we want to get our own back. Vengeance can become a very, very consuming fire. Perhaps this is an extreme example, but nonetheless, it will highlight the point. I knew a man in the city of Belfast in Northern Ireland many years ago. As I knew him, he was a very stolid individual. He was a good husband, a good father, a good family man. He professed faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. He lived a clean and upright life. He was found in God's house. You would look at him and say, yes, that's a good man. And for the most part, you'd be right. But he never did fulfill his potential for Christ. He was never the witness in the world that he ought to be. He was never really the worker for God that he ought to be. He certainly was not the winner of souls that he ought to be. Why? He didn't have talent? No, that wasn't the reason. He didn't have education? That wasn't the reason. He didn't have opportunity? That wasn't the reason. No, I'll tell you what the reason was. It was a man who wronged him. And he swore vengeance. And he didn't get it. And for 20 years, I don't know when it ended, I came to know of it after 20 years or more. And he was still in the same place. But for 20 years, he was still living as if that event had just occurred the day before. And he was still seeking that man and seeking vengeance. It was a fire that was burning in his heart and it was consuming him. And that was sin. Now, if you had known the story, you might have said, I could understand that man. That's not the point. This man says he's a Christian. So, the gospel should have power in his life. He says he's indwelt by the Spirit of God, the great sanctifier. Well, there should be power from the Spirit of God in his life. It was wrong for him. It was wrong in the sight of men, for many people knew of this. It was a bad testimony to the world. It was a bad testimony to his children. It was a bad testimony to his wife and to his greater family circle. But most of all, it was an insult and a betrayal of the Lord Jesus Christ. To allow bitterness and anger to corrupt the life, to make us people who are vengeful, always vindicating ourselves, always having to get our own back. Listen, we believe that the wrath of God is real. We believe that the judgment of God is just. Therefore, we are told, give place unto wrath. That is, give place unto God's wrath. Remember what I said earlier in the week, that in this section the Apostle Paul is teaching us what Peter teaches us in 1 Peter 2:22, that we are to have Christ as our example. He suffered, we suffer, so we should suffer as he suffered, with the same kind of meek spirit. We read that Christ committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. And that's how we ought to live, committing ourselves to him that judgeth righteously. And if you can't easily vindicate yourself, I'm not saying it's never right to vindicate yourself. There's many a time when it's not only right, but it's necessary. But I'm saying if you can't vindicate yourself, then that's the call of God to abandon yourself to him who judgeth righteously and let God do the vindicating. You know, if Christians would only learn that, they'd have a whole lot happier and holier and more productive lives. I've seen marriages wrecked because one party or other could not leave it to God to do the vindicating. They brought a vengeful spirit in that wrecked their home. You'll see it in your place of business. You'll see it in the church. You'll see it as you walk through the world. Commit yourself to him that judgeth righteously. Then verse 20. We must seek to win our enemies by showing them the love of Christ. I've already read and dealt with the part, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. That's showing him the love of Christ. But listen to this. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire upon his head. Be like Christ, and your Christ-likeness will be effective. Coals of fire. There's been a lot of discussion about what precisely that means, and a lot of people have jumped to a lot of conclusions that I don't think are altogether justified. Coals of fire. For example, let's go back to the book of Proverbs, chapter 25, verse 21 and 22, and here you'll get where this text is taken from. If thine enemy be hungry, give him bread to eat. If he be thirsty, give him water to drink. For thou shalt heap coals of fire upon his head, and the Lord shall reward thee. Now, what this is saying is that if you act like Christ toward even your enemies, then the Lord is going to reward that. Christ-likeness, a Christ-like savor, will always be effective. Now take the coals of fire on the head of your enemies. Fire may melt or fire may burn. And so commentators are divided as to whether Paul is saying, show the love of Christ to your enemies because it will make hell all the hotter for them. Or, as others say, show the love of Christ to them, for it will be a fire that will melt them and warm their hearts with the gospel. So you have two views of this. Fire may melt or burn. In actual fact, there's truth in both those views. We can win our enemies for Christ by our love. The Lord Jesus told us in Matthew 5, verse 16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Peter says, having your conversation or your manner of life, your behavior, honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. You can win your enemies by your love for them. Sometimes it's hard to love your enemies and love sinners. Some of the old preachers, they might have been called holiness preachers. They might have been called by some pietists, and they're spoken rather spoken about rather disparagingly, but I admire them in this. They used to pray to the Lord Jesus, "Lord, live your life through me. Lord, love these souls through me." I don't think that's a bad prayer to pray. Aren't we told that the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts? Yes, that's God's love for us, but we're not the only ones that God loved. If we have the love of God shed abroad in our hearts, how can we be full of hatred? The Bible tells you if you're a hating person, you're a person given to hatred, you don't know Christ. You don't know God. God is love. You're to hate the garments spotted by iniquity, but you're to pull sinners out of the fire. So, the fire, the coals of fire that you heap in your the heads of the ungodly, the love of Christ that you bring to them, the goodness of grace that you bring to them, the wonder of the gospel that you introduce them to can warm their hearts, melt their souls, bring them to Christ. There's a glowing example of this happened in Korea. You may know that from 1910 until after the Second World War, Korea was ruled by Japan, and ruled very brutally by Japan. There was a Japanese officer who led his troops in a murder rampage, and they took the son of a Korean preacher and they brutally butchered him and murdered him. In due time, the Japanese were overthrown, and that officer was brought to trial, brought before a judge for his crime. And as he was about to be sentenced, the Korean preacher stepped forth and he said to the judge, "Do not sentence him to death. I want to adopt him as my son." And amazingly, the court complied. And he led that young Japanese officer to Christ. That man later became a leading preacher of the gospel. I checked the veracity of that story with my friend, the Reverend David Lee, who's the member of the Korean Free Presbyterian Church here in Greenville, and he confirmed to me, yes, that's not just a story. That actually happened in my country. Coals of fire can melt and warm and win. But if sinners reject, then our love will leave them without excuse in the judgment day, and it will add to their guilt. It will heap coals of fire on them to burn them and not to bless them. So here's the believer's response to the gospel. This is what it is to live in the world by what we believe. It is to cease living for self. It's to live for the Lord. He says, "My son, give me thy heart. This yielded life is the only proper response that a believer can make to the gospel." Let me ask you, are you a believer? If not, why not? You should come to Christ today. If you are a believer, is this the life that you're living? Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. I hope that you found today's broadcasting a blessing to your heart. If you'd like to email us, our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Or if you'd prefer, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We would love to hear from you. If you'd like to know how to be saved and how to be sure you're saved, we'd like to send you my booklet, A New Beginning, and I think that you'll find it very helpful.
Each quarter we publish a free full-color magazine, Let the Bible Speak Quarterly, with a good variety of Bible teaching and testimony. It's available to all who request it. If you'd like to receive more information about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America and its ministry, we'd like to send you our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel. Or if you'd like to have tape or CD copies of the messages here in Let the Bible Speak, you may have them by contacting us. Or you may visit us on the web at letthebiblespeakradio.com. Now that's a lot of information to digest all at once, but you can find it all on our website, letthebiblespeakradio.com. There you'll be able to listen to and download our programs, visit our online bookstore, and read a text version of each day's commentary. So visit us today at letthebiblespeakradio.com. This is Alan Cairns saying thank you for listening. I trust that you'll join us each day at this time, Monday through Friday, as we Let the Bible Speak.